when we just need help. You know, we need help to get things done. We need help to understand. We need help to know what to do next. Sometimes we need help to make things right. We need help. We get ourselves into situations where we cannot get ourselves out. We need help. And, you know, as much as some of us, you know, and me especially, try to just get everything done on our own, we need help. I find myself in need of help often, and sometimes it seems like there's just no help to be found. Have you ever felt that way? When you are struggling, when you are floundering, and it just seems like there is no help out there that can get you through what you're going through. But the good news is that with God, that is never true. With God, there is always help. With God, there is always guidance. There is always hope. There is always direction. And that help comes from the Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest, the Holy Spirit is not someone that we talk about enough. It's come to be that, you know, churches don't talk about the Holy Spirit quite as much as they should. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And I think, you know, it's possible that some of that comes from the fact that a lot of churches think that other churches talk too much about the Holy Spirit, right? And so these churches, you know, all they talk about is the Holy Spirit and that's it. And so we don't want to be like them, so we're going to go in the other direction. But then we go too far in the other direction. And that's junk, honestly. I mean, to try and define ourselves by a negative is never a good thing, right? Well, we aren't those people now, but who are you? You may not be those people, but are you anything? So we need to talk about the Holy Spirit. We need to teach more on the Holy Spirit. We are not going to avoid this discussion this morning about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, if you hadn't gathered that so far. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? Why should we seek a greater knowledge and relationship with the Holy Spirit? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Who is the Holy Spirit? Why is he important? The Holy Spirit is important. He is vital to us. In fact, Jesus said that it is to our advantage that Jesus go away, that Jesus ascend into heaven and leave us here so that he could send the Holy Spirit. He said it's actually better that he goes away so that the Holy Spirit could come. It's right there. Right there in God's word, and we're going to read that whole passage here in just a minute. But let's come together this morning. Let's give the Holy Spirit his due. So to start off, who is the Holy Spirit? First off, let's be clear that the Holy Spirit is not something new. Okay? The experience of the Holy Spirit is not even something that's new. The Holy Spirit has always been and will always be. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, of who God is. Along with God the Father and God the Son, there is God the Holy Spirit, which is why it's such a shame that he doesn't get the attention, the time spent on him that the other persons of the Trinity do. God the Holy Spirit, we see the first place that we see the Holy Spirit is actually the first place that we read about God too. In the beginning, this is Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. The Holy Spirit was moving above the waters. The Spirit of God was waiting for the change that was about to happen. Waiting to move the universe into motion. And, you know, the interesting thing is that change is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does the most. Change. The Spirit of God was moving over the waters, waiting for God to say, "Let there be light. Let there be a separation of the waters. Let there be an earth for humans and animals and plants to grow on. The Holy Spirit was waiting to effect that change. The Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus is God and the Father is God. The Holy Spirit gives power. And the Holy Spirit affects change, which we'll come back to in a moment. The Holy Spirit gives power. We see this in a bunch of different places. Even before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be the helper on earth, before Jesus sent the Holy Spirit after he was leaving, the Holy Spirit was still there. The Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. We see it over and over again. The Holy Spirit came at particular times to particular people for particular tasks. The Holy Spirit came upon Gideon for leadership. He came upon Samson for strength. He came to Isaiah for prophecy. He even came to a guy named Bezalel, and I think Steph will like this especially, for artistic design. Right? The Holy Spirit came to these people for the particular time, for the particular task, to move forward the kingdom of God. And he came to this guy, and we think, oh, that's so cool, you know, prophecy, strength, leadership. But I want you to think about this. What is all the art and beauty in the world based off of? It is based off of the creation that God made first. Who is the greatest artist in the universe but the Creator? And so God came to this Bezalel for artistic design. He came and gave this guy the inspiration and artistic ability to make the beautiful carvings that they were making for, I think, the tabernacle at that time. Or was it the temple? I'm not sure. I'm going to have to relook that up. Bunny trails. Anyway, the Holy Spirit gives power, gives inspiration, gives guidance in these instances, and that's what he does for us today too. The Holy Spirit is also called the Helper. If we look at John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And also John 16:7, which I mentioned before, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So the Holy Spirit is called the Helper. What does that mean? Is the Holy Spirit an assistant? A sidekick? Is the Robin to our Batman? Well, no, that doesn't sound like the sovereign God of the universe, does it? So what does helper mean? Well, this is one of those times when you really have to go to the Greek. And I know you all love this when I do this, but the word used here for helper that we translate into English as helper is parakletos. And I would put it up there, but it looks like Greek. So it's parakletos. So the word there, and the transliteration, which means if we take a Greek word and we just Englishize it, that word is paraclete, not parakeet, paraclete. And what paraclete, parakletos, means is called to one's aid. So helper, right? Okay, yes, but we also have to get to the point of, you know, what are the three things that I always say that you have to learn in order to truly study the Bible? You have to know who is speaking, to whom are they speaking, and in this case, what did it mean to the people that it was to whom it was said at the time at which it was said, right? Because words gather their meaning by what they mean to whom they're being spoken. Right? So, I mean, you know, we could say, I should probably not use that one. We could say, man, I can't think of any good ones other than that. So We'll just skip over that. You could say something 50 years ago that would mean something completely different now, right? Okay, so you say a certain word 50 years ago, it means one thing. You say that same word now, and it means a completely different thing. We don't need examples. You know what I mean. You're smart people. So what did this mean to the people to whom it was said? That's what we have to figure out. So what it means is parakletos. From, close beside, and from, make a call, conjunctive word here, properly, a legal advocate who makes the right judgment call because they are close enough to the situation. Advocate, advisor, helper. And the regular term in New Testament times, that of an attorney, a lawyer. Someone giving evidence that stands up in court. So this isn't the sidekick kind of help. This is more of the, where does my help come from? I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. That kind of help. Help in times of lostness, in times of darkness, in times of uncertainty, and the Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf to the Father like an intercessor, or though we might hate to associate this word with the Holy Spirit, like a lawyer speaking on our behalf to God. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is one person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit was intrinsically involved in the creation of all things. The Holy Spirit has empowered and inspired people for the tasks for the glory of God. And the Holy Spirit is sent to us in the name of the Father as a helper, as a guide, as one to speak on our behalf, as one to stand in the gap between us and God. So then, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, in figuring out who the Holy Spirit is, we also see a lot, we kind of illuminate some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. So I'm going to narrow it down a little bit. So what does the Holy Spirit do for us now, in this time, in this place? What does the Holy Spirit do for us? What does the Holy Spirit do for Christians, for those who follow Christ? Well, for the believer, the Holy Spirit does a lot. The Holy Spirit does a lot. He is the helper, as we've talked about. In those times when it seems like there is no other help available to us, no one else who can help, He can. He gives us guidance. He gives us understanding. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we can actually understand the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So as we read the Bible, we pray to God for understanding. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us understanding. It is the Holy Spirit that that is affecting you. When you read the Bible and you find those moments where you're like, I have read this 20 times before and now I get it. I have read this passage 100 times in my life and now it makes sense. That's the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit working in you for understanding. You know, the Word of God is described as being living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the cutting. All right? It's the Holy Spirit that makes us notice things in God's Word that hit us where we live. When you read a passage that you've read 100 times, but this time you see it and you go, oof. That's right here. That's right now, and that's what I needed. You know, I'm not a big fan of or a promoter of just flipping open the Bible and pointing at a verse and letting that verse be your verse for the day. But when that works, that's the Holy Spirit too. Okay, He knows where lazy. We know he knows we're in trouble when he knows that if we've resorted to that we really need that right now. And so he works that together as well. He shows us a verse. He shows us passages that help us to understand what is going on right now. Like that passage that I just mentioned, it's because of the Holy Spirit that passage came to me this week. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? You know, we come to these times in our lives when we are just desperate, when we are just desperately in need of help, when we just do not see what God is doing. We don't understand where God is taking us. We see things happen in our life. We're like, why? Why is this going on right now? When everything looks horrible anyway, why is this just piling on? And it's in those moments that we say, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven, creator of the earth. Our help comes from the Holy Spirit in those times when we need guidance, when we need to understand why, when we're doing the things that we know that God is pushing us to do and the results are not what we expect, we put our faith in him even more. We push our faith to him. We lift our eyes up to the hills. The Holy Spirit helps us by bringing to mind scripture that we've read, by showing us what scripture means when we maybe didn't understand it before. And he even helps us in our prayer. If we look at Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. Do you ever come to your prayer time with God and just say, God, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to ask for. I am, you know, trying to be thankful. I'm trying to pray thankfulness, but I don't even know what I'm thankful for right now. And the Holy Spirit says, I've got you. And he translates those inner deepest yearnings and he gives those to God. He translates those feelings that we don't even understand, and he brings those to God, and God the Father and the Father hears. He helps us in our prayers. He comforts us in weakness and in sorrow. He empowers us for the work of the kingdom. And he helps us become more like Jesus. By helping us to understand God's word, by which we have faith, the Holy Spirit sparks within us a life of freedom, a life of hope, a life of joy, and a life of transformation. You know, we've talked somewhat recently about the work of sanctification. That's one of those big churchy words, right? But we've talked about this recently, the work of sanctification in our lives. Because when you come to Christ, you may not be one of those people that says, well, when I came to Jesus, I said, God, I want to follow you. And from that moment on, I never touched a blah, 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 you know. I was instantly healed from my addiction to heroin. I was instantly healed. I don't know about you, but I've never had an instantly anything. Ever. And I pray, I bless those people who have. Like, their witness to God is amazing. And I've known a lot of them, you know, that say, oh yeah, well, when I came to Jesus, I had a needle in my arm, and I said, okay, God, either, you know, I'm dying tonight or you're coming to me, and I saw God in front of me. I saw Jesus in front of me, and he picked me up, and he hugged me, and he said, I've got more for you than this. And I just think, wow, man, that would be so cool. I wish that would happen to me, but I don't think I want to start the heroin. So I think I'll pass. But You know, they have amazing witnesses to the power of God in their lives and can show people how amazing he is. And I have never had anything instantly happen in my life ever. But you know what? I have seen progress. And that's amazing too. If I look at myself, I've always been a Christian. There's never been a time in my life when I didn't believe in God. But if I look at myself 15 years ago, smack that boy. Idiot. Good grief. And Jamie always says, yeah, you were really fun though. Like, yeah, but I was awful. Man, did horrible, awful things that Sanctification. It is not an instantaneous thing that you come to Jesus and suddenly you're just better. But it is the work of sanctification through the Holy Spirit that leads you in a path through your life where you become more like Jesus. When you become holy, sanctified, made holy, made set apart for God. You were here, God takes you out of there, sets you in this category over here just for him. But that's a process. It's a process of sanctification. When you come to Jesus, when you confess your sins to him and ask him to forgive you, then you are justified. You are made just. You are made clean. You are forgiven. But to become holy, that's a different thing. Justification over here, sanctification over time. Justification instant, sanctification is a process. And the Holy Spirit is that process. It's by the Holy Spirit that we become sanctified. We become more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers us also through that justification, through that sanctification. He also empowers us to share with the world, to witness to the world the gospel of Jesus. Let's look at Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to witness to other people. The Holy Spirit also blesses us with spiritual gifts. This is another one of those things that we don't talk about that here, right? We don't talk about spiritual gifts all that much because then people start thinking it's this other thing, and we just, we don't want to deal with that, right? But he does. He blesses us with spiritual gifts. He gives us gifts and talents that we can use for the glory of God, for the work of the kingdom, and to make disciples of all nations. Gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us to edify and build up the church. And the Holy Spirit, even through all of this, giving us gifts, giving us sanctification, giving us help and hope, it's also the Holy Spirit is the seal of God on our lives. It makes me think of the movie Toy Story. Right? When we have Buzz and Woody and Andy, when he gets them, they're his favorite toy, and he turns them over and he writes Andy on their foot. And God loves us and we're his favorite. And he says, this is mine. And he places the Holy Spirit in us. And that is the seal of God, the signature of God on us. The seal of God, the mark of authenticity. I like that idea even more because it's the mark of authenticity. What do we read about the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is that which we show, the evidence that we show of God in our lives, of the Holy Spirit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the signs of the Holy Spirit in us, the fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the mark of authenticity, that we are authentic Christians. If we are authentic Christians, then we will show the fruit of the Spirit, right? God sends us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the seal of God on our lives. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the mark of salvation in Jesus Christ and the adoption by the God the Father. All of these things the Holy Spirit does for the believer, and yet there's even more. And I would encourage you to spend some time just studying the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do for us? What does he do in our lives? So, why the Holy Spirit? You know, we see who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. So why should we seek a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Why should we seek a greater knowledge of the Holy Spirit? Because we need it. We need it. There will always be times when we need help. There will always be times when we need guidance, when we need hope. There will be times in life when things seem hopeless. And so we need the Holy Spirit's help in doing things better. We need the Holy Spirit's help in correcting behavior. We need the Holy Spirit's help to see that things are not hopeless. We need the Holy Spirit's help in finding the right direction to go. We need the Holy Spirit's help in having the courage to actually go there. And of course, in that work of sanctification, to become more like Jesus. The fact of the matter is that we are all miserably human. Miserably imperfect. We all do things that hurt ourselves. We all do things that hurt other people. We all do things that wound the heart of God. We all do the kinds of things that sent Jesus to the cross. And without the Holy Spirit, we won't become better. We cannot and must not ignore the Holy Spirit. We cannot and must not miss out on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Without him, there is no sanctification. There is no help. There is no guidance. There are no spiritual gifts to use to further the kingdom. There is no faith because there is no understanding. There is no hope because there is no faith. We need the Holy Spirit to be in and to direct our lives. You know, there are times, usually when I, in my imperfect knowledge and imperfect sinful self and behavior, have really messed things up for myself and other people. And the only help out there is the Holy Spirit. The only guidance I can seek is from God, the Holy Spirit. But, oh, what a comfort. What a comfort to know that he is there, that he loves me, that he is patient with me. You know, and in those times when I think, which I think we all have those times, we need to pray more and more to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is something that we need to pray for. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit when you are otherwise feeling drained. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit when you're feeling defeated. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit when you are feeling empty. Pray to that the Holy Spirit would guide you. Pray that the Holy Spirit would empower you, that the Holy Spirit would change you. Because you see, church, as I was reminded this week by one of my pastors, one of the godly men who speak into my life, it is never hopeless. It's one of these things he told me that in the moment it was like, that is not encouraging. But then you chew on it for a minute. You see, it is never hopeless because God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you in order to affect change on the world. God doesn't need you in order to grow the church. God doesn't need you, but he does want you. He does want you. He wants you here. And he wants you to be this church, this body, this family. He doesn't need you, but he wants you here. And that's amazing. It's never hopeless because God doesn't need you, but he does want you. He does want you to be his hands and feet in this world. He does want you to be the church. He wants to use you, and he will. He will use you. We just have to wait and work to find out how. And that's what I want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Spirit, for the Holy Spirit that works in our lives, in our hearts, who affects change, who brings us through this process of sanctification, who is our help and guidance constantly. We pray, God, that you'd fill us this morning. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can go and pour out, so that we can go and find the work that it is that you have set us here for, because we know you don't need us, but we know that you want us, and you want all of us, every fiber of our being. And so we want to give that to you today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come to us and that you would fill us this morning so that we can go and do the work of the kingdom that you want us to do. And we pray all of this in the name of the Son, Jesus. Amen.